tell you, keeping your eyes on heaven. That's what our topic of our Bible reading will be today in heaven. So grab your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Life is very fast. Sometimes we think it goes slow, though, when we're going through tough times. And it seems like when you're going through tough times, it just never ends. When am I going to get through this? And again, I don't know you guys real well. I don't know what your week has been like. And I said this last week, I don't know, you know, what your year has been like. And we all go through tough times. It's just what life is. Life is ups and downs. And as we were just singing, if we're on our way to heaven, it'll be worth it all to get through. It'll be seem like it was just so short. And there we'll be standing face to face with our Savior. It'll be a wonderful day. It'll be a wonderful future for eternity to think about. So this series of talks that we've been having, it was a year ago when my father passed away, and I've told you all this, but this is where this series kind of came from. And I read a book called Heaven by Randy Alcorn, and that's really where I'm getting my information from. I'm just going through his book and just kind of going through it. And I knew how to get to heaven, but I really wasn't sure what heaven would be like until I really read this book and he took you through the scriptures. And I said, man, this is what we need to hear. Give us a picture of what heaven is going to be like. And so that's what we're going through as we go through this series on heaven. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we open up his word and get into our reading today. So, Lord, we come now to your word, and this is just not some human man's opinions. When we read this, this is straight from you. This is your word that we're getting ready to read. So, God, speak to us, Lord. May we see the truth that your word is giving us. And, Lord, may it point us home. May we keep our eyes focused on you and focused on heaven, Lord, our eternal home. So give help today as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we come now to Revelation 21. And we want to look at both Revelation 21 and 22 today. But let's start with 21. And we'll open up God's word here. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea, no ocean. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Let's pause there in our reading. So as we come now to this part of our story, again, we're reminded that the new heavens and the new earth is our final home. It's what heaven is. It's heaven will come down to be a new heaven and a new earth. And as we'll see today, we're talking about the New Jerusalem. That's really what our talk is all about. So the New Jerusalem right now is in is in heaven. All right, it's in the what I like to call the third heaven or the intermediate heaven. It's where my dad is. Jesus is up there, and maybe somebody that you love is as who has asked Jesus to be their Savior is up in the third heaven. And there in the third heaven, there is this eternal city called the New Jerusalem. And as you saw there in our reading, the holy city, New Jerusalem, verse 2 says, will come down out of heaven from God, right? It'll come down. The New Jerusalem will come to this earth. And this will be the final reign of Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus was going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That'll start after the tribulation on this earth. And I tell you, when you keep your eyes on the news, we are well aware that Israel is under a lot of pressure right now. And we see the day approaching with one world governments trying to form and getting away with the dollar and going to this digital currency. It's all happening right before our eyes. And one day, the Bible tells us that we as saints will be called up to be with the Lord forever, and that's called the rapture. There'll be this 7-year period of God judging sin and this earth. And after that 7-year period, though, will come this 1,000-year reign of Jesus. And after that 1,000-year reign of Jesus, our final home will be realized as the New Jerusalem comes down to the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus will be the king. Now, that's why Jesus was called the Christ. Now, Christ is not his last name, Jesus Christ. As a school teacher, as I teach kids, I say, well, what's Julius's last name? Caesar. No, that's not his last name. It's Julius the Caesar, right? That's his title, the emperor. So, same way with Jesus, Christ is not his last name, it's his title. And Christ means the Messiah, which means the anointed one, which means he's the king. In fact, Jesus made that very, very clear while he was here on earth and saying, I am a king, and my kingdom, though, is not of this world. It originates in heaven, but it's going to come down to this earth, but it just originates far away in heaven. And this heaven will come down to this earth. One day it's going to come. And as we see here in Daniel, I just want to read these two verses really, really quickly. And as we get started here, the New Jerusalem will come down to earth. Listen to these verses. In my night vision, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, Jesus, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. And all peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, right? This is not just for 1,000 years. That will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And so he'll reign for 1,000 years, yes, but he'll reign forever. He'll reign forever. And so all the other kingdoms of the world, they've had kings. Alexander the Great, right? Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Xerxes, whatever, these powerful leaders. Their kingdom was just for a very short time. In fact, in Daniel's dream, in Daniel chapter 2, he had a big vision of a statue, right? And there was the head of gold, which represented a Babylon, right? And the chest of silver, and that represented the Medes and the Persians. And then you got the legs of bronze, represented Greece, and the thighs, and I'm getting all my point of the bronze and what's next, but Rome was next, and then eventually there was a little stone that would come and destroy all the kingdoms of the world. And that's what this verse says in Daniel 2. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. nor will it be left to other people. It will endure forever. And so Jesus' kingdom will never, never end. Well, as we saw last week, we are going to reign with Jesus because we are his bride. If you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you are the bride of Christ. And Jesus will be the king and we'll be the queen, so to speak. Right? Revelation 5 says that you have made them, us, to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they, meaning us, will reign on the earth. And so, it's an amazing thing that we will reign with Jesus during the millennium. We're going to reign with him. But this kingdom is not just a millennial kingdom. As we just read, this kingdom is everlasting. And Revelation tells us that we will reign forever and ever with him. He's the king and we are his bride. So wherever he goes, we're connected. And so in Revelation 22, when it says they will reign forever and ever, we're going to be reigning with Christ on this new earth forever. Now that is all just setting up. Now, what we want to talk about today is what does this kingdom look like? This new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven to earth, what is that going to entail? What will that look like? One of the interesting things that's going to happen during our rule is that there's going to be earthly kingdoms. Now, we know that that's going to happen during the thousand-year reign. The Bible says, then the sovereignty and power and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints. We're going to reign, and God's going to give us the authority to rule these nations. It's going to be handed over to us. And in Revelation 21... We're there, so let's just look at verses 24 and 26, because here it is. I've got it on the screen, but you can look at your Bible in front of you. The kings of the earth are going to bring their splendor into this city, and the glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into this city. During our reign with Jesus, there's going to be, life is going to go on. Again, many people think heaven is just, you just sit around and you strum a harp, all you do is go to church, and that's all you do. No, we will definitely worship Jesus. Absolutely no question he is worthy. The worship that Jesus will receive, though, will be as we live out our life for eternity on earth. We will be worshiping the Lord constantly. And there's going to be people. He's going to bring their splendor into the new Jerusalem. And so we will rule over these nations that are going to be on the earth during that time. There's going to be life still going on. There'll be nations here on earth, and we will rule over them. So we know that... Nations all have cultural things that goes on. There's arts. We're here in Durham. You got the school of, I live in Winston-Salem area. There's the school of the arts. You guys here have the school of medicine. And there's science and there's sports. And we're going to be stewards over all of these things. It will be, life will go on. Maybe we will expand these splendors of the nations. But we'll be over them as this kingdom rules forever. The Bible says that the government of the Lord will increase. If you look at this verse in Isaiah, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will be on the throne of David, yes, during the millennium, and over his kingdom, from that time on and forever. And so we see that there's going to be an increase in the Lord's rule. The government will grow. What does that mean? We can only speculate. But maybe it means into ungoverned areas of space that the Lord's government will expand to. Maybe it means that God's going to create new territories, maybe even new creatures. We're not told this. We're speculating. But his government will increase. Maybe we will rule over planets and galaxies. Again, speculation. But his government will increase. It will expand. Well, some have thought, well, are we going to go back to Eden when this new Jerusalem comes down, which we're getting ready to look at in detail here? Will we go back to like Adam and Eve where we're starting from scratch? Well, probably not. In other words, when the new heavens and new earth comes, we're not going to go back to the original way it was for Adam and Eve, where they had to just start from scratch and invent the wheel and fire and all this. Because we're told that the nations are going to come in and the kings of the earth are going to bring their splendor. So probably it's kind of like if you're sick and if you get healed, you don't go back to being a baby. So in other words, here we've made all these progressions. We drive automobiles. We have spaceships that go to Mars and the moon and all that. We're not going to go back. We're not going to regress, right, and go backwards. When you get healed, when there's a new heavens and a new earth, you start from there and you keep going. When I get healed, I don't go back to being a baby. I start from as an adult and keep on living life. So we're probably not going to go back to, you know, running around with no clothes on like Adam and Eve did, right? With no wheel. You had to invent everything. We're going to pick up because it says the nations are going to come in. There's already the splendor of what they've already achieved is going to be brought into the new Jerusalem. Well, let's look at the New Jerusalem itself, this place that right now is sitting in heaven. So my dad, I don't know if he's had a tour of it already. I have no idea. But one day, this New Jerusalem is going to come down to earth, and that'll be the capital city. The New Jerusalem is called a country in the Bible. It's also called a city. In fact, it's called a city multiple times in Revelation. Now, we can think about what a city is. We live in the city of Durham, wherever it is that you live, Raleigh, Winston-Salem, whatever. We all live in cities. And so the Bible describes heaven as being a country and a city. It'll be literal. We're going to have literal bodies. Jesus had a literal body when he rose from the dead. He had a literal body. You could hear Thomas, touch my nails. Here, give me some food to eat when he's on the beach, right? He had a literal body. You're going to have a physical body, and Jesus says he's making a place for us, which is inside of the New Jerusalem. Right now, Jesus, for 2,000 years, has been making a place for us. It'll be a physical place. Well, countries, if this new Jerusalem that's coming out of heaven right now, sitting in heaven, waiting on its descent to earth, and that'll be the capital city. It's called a city, but it's also called a country. Well, countries have culture. And as I was reading this book, I mean, I never thought about any of this stuff, about what we would all, again, all I thought about, all we're going to do is go to church. That's all we're going to do. Heaven is just one big church service. That's all I thought it was. But it's a country. Countries have culture. They've got a government. They've got all kinds of things. We know what cities have. Cities have buildings. Cities have parks, streets. We know of one street, it's made of pure gold, the Bible tells us, as we'll see. There's all kinds of events going on, music, the arts, etc. The new heaven is going to have all these things, evidently. It's a city, it's a country. These are things we can all all think about because we've experienced them here. So the New Jerusalem, when it comes down, will be the capital city of this earth, of this new heavens and new earth. It'll be the capital. It'll be where the throne of Jesus is, as you'll see. Let's pick up in our reading. Let's look at verse 9. We're in Revelation 21 and verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I'm going to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Remember, we talked about that last week. We cannot see God's face, his glory, on this earth, but one day we'll see his face. We'll see his glory. And this city will have the glory of God in it. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal, clear jasper. And we'll get into the descriptions here in just a second, but let's stop and pause just for a minute. Did you catch it right at the very beginning there in verse 9 and verse 10? He says, "Come here, John. I want to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb," and then he goes to show us this, the holy city. So some people say, "Well, whoa. Does Jesus marry a city?" Because he says the bride is the city, doesn't it? Well, it's called the bride. The New Jerusalem is called the bride, right? Because that's where we will live. It's kind of like in a verse like this, right? So it says, "In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old." Well, we know that Jerusalem here is a place, but it's talking about the people in the place. Do you see that? Her affliction, Jerusalem remembers. Well, Jerusalem is a place. How does Jerusalem remember anything? It's because he's talking about the people inside of Jerusalem. So when John says here, "I'm going to show you the bride, and then here comes this city," well, okay, it's like this verse. It's Jerusalem, but it's talking about the people inside. Y'all with me? Jesus doesn't marry a city. He marries us, his bride. We are his bride. Okay? So he says, "Come here, I want to show you the bride." And here comes this, where we are, right, where we're going to live. We will come down to the earth. All right. Let's look at verse 14. "And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." I was talking with Cliff last night about down in Surfside Beach, Myrtle Beach. There is a family member who works at a hotel right there by the pier at Garden City, Surfside Garden City. And he was talking about how this building, this hotel that's just pretty tall, it's not built deep enough into the ground right on the beach. And the foundation, the building is coming off, it's slipping off its foundation. It's starting to slip. And so they basically said, "Everybody out, let's go. This building's got a crack in it on the fourth floor because the foundation has shifted," right? The building is shifting off its foundation. Y'all got to get out. Well, here, the building of the New Jerusalem, when it comes down, is built by God. The building ain't going to slip. It's got not one foundation, it's got 12. This is a permanent, solid home. We don't have to worry about it. Each one of them is decorated with a stone. If you were to look, again, there's a lot of reading here. If you look at verse 19, "The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone," and it goes on to name these stones. So it says, "The foundation stones of the city," right, "of the city wall." So we've got this city. It's coming down. It's solid. It's being built by God. It's being built as we speak, or it's already finished. Jesus is making the rooms inside of the building right now. He's making a place for you and me. Well, how big is this city? Okay. Let's look at verse 15. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. Okay. So basically what we're saying is it's like a square. Now again, this might be symbolic. It might be symbolic. But it does, go to the next one, it does talk about it's man's measurements. In verse 17, he talks about, according to human measurements. So how big is this city? Well, on the bottom floor, now it's shaped like a cube, right? So it's 1,400 miles this way, 14, right? You got me? 14. It's like a cube. So if you lay it down on the United States, it goes from Canada to Mexico and California to the Appalachian Mountains. That's the city that's coming down. If it is just symbolic and just using figurative numbers, it's still big. But it might be in the shape of a cube, right? It's what it says, and it says to be in man's measurement. It's pretty big. In fact, if it's 1,400 miles this way and 1,400 miles up this way, let's say that the ceilings are 12 feet. How many levels we got? Over 600,000 levels. Some people say, well, can all the Christians fit in this place? Oh, yeah. You ain't got to worry. You have plenty of room. Plenty of room. It's huge. There's a high wall. Verse 14 talks about the wall of the city. Shows how secure it is. Not that there's any fear. Satan will be in the lake of fire. There'll be no more sin. It's just, now that was probably symbolic of the peace that we'll enjoy in this heaven that's come down to earth. It'll have 12 gates made of 12 pearls. Again, I've put the verses up here. We could look at all of them, but this is getting into some of the detail. Each one is named after a tribe of Israel. There'll be three on each side of this cube. Again, sounds literal because there's three on each side. There'll be an angel at every gate. Well, the gates will never be shut. Verse 25, we can look at that. Verse 25, in the daytime, for there will be no night there, the gates will never be closed. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come, because there won't be any, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The gates are never, never shut. When we go to sleep at night, what do? We lock our doors. Even then, you might not feel safe, right? We live in some crazy, crazy times. But when you close the doors, you feel safe. You feel safer than if they're wide open. Here, the gates will always be open. There's no need to worry. It'll also, by having the gates always open, will allow for easy access. The nations are going to bring in their splendor constantly and offer them as worship to God. They'll constantly be leaving, maybe to go on an exploration. Maybe we'll go explore Mars today. Be back in a little while. See you later. It's going to be an amazing thing. We'll go in and out of our city. It'll be our home. It'll be our capital city where the throne is. The nations will bring in their splendor. Some of the smaller details here. The wall is made of jasper. I was looking it up last night. What in the world is jasper? I mean, I don't know these stones and all. But you look at these various things. Some of the details here in verse 11, it's shone with the glory of God. It's going to have all these jewels. The brilliance like a jasper, clear as crystal. So bright. It'll be so bright in the New Jerusalem. There's no need for the sun in the New Jerusalem. God's glory will just... The city is made of pure gold. Verse 18. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. God don't play around, right? He's not going, well, I'm going to put up some oak wood right here. Hope you like it. God's putting up the best of the best. The street, the main street, is made of pure gold. So I guess if the main street, that means there'll be other streets, right? It's a city. It's a city. Let's look at Revelation 22 real fast as we read the first two verses. There's a lot to... I'm kind of jumping through this, but it's a lot here. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the middle of the street. God's throne is going to be right smack dab in this New Jerusalem. It'll be in the middle of this city, the New Jerusalem. Jesus' light will be able to see Jesus' face. The light will be so bright. God will be there. This is one, if Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem is a city, and it is, there'll be other cities. There'll be countries all over this world, more than likely. The countries will be coming in to this city. The gates will always be open. We see this river of life, and we just read in verse 1 of chapter 22. It's coming from, and he showed me the river of clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of the street. So Jesus will be sitting on his throne, and from the throne will come this river of life. Well, you remember, the river of life, water, we talk about water. Water is how we survive. We have to have water. It satisfies our thirst, right? We got to have water. Remember when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, and he says, look, man, you're drinking out of this well right here, but if you drink of this well, you're going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And so this river of life is probably symbolic of satisfaction that Jesus brings. He satisfies our deepest spiritual longings. No one else has the answers. No other religion has the answers that can satisfy us, to give us this peace. And so right there in the middle of the New Jerusalem will be this river of life. Notice that it flows as well. Therefore, the throne must be elevated. Jesus will always be looking up at the throne as this water flows down. Right? Keep reading in verse 2 in the middle of the street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healings of the nations. If you remember, in the Garden of Eden, there was two trees in particular that we know names for, not apple and orange. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And when Adam and Eve ate, they disobeyed God, and they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God says, get out of that garden before you eat of the tree of life. Well, what's that all about? Well, don't know for sure. A little speculation here, but maybe as Adam and Eve were living in this perfect environment, eating of this, let's say this is it, right? Eating of the fruit of the tree of life was required for them to keep living eternally. Maybe to live forever, they had to eat from the tree. So, what is this doing here? It could be symbolic, but maybe we too, as it says, it gives fruit, right? It bears fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Well, what does that mean? We're going to get cancer? No, we'll have perfect bodies. Then what is this for? Well, maybe God has provided a perfect body, and that's true, just like he did for Adam and Eve. But they evidently had to eat of the tree to keep living forever. That's why they had to get kicked out. So maybe, again, speculating here, I mean, every month there'll be new fruit. So where's the old fruit going? Well, I guess we're eating it. And maybe, as it says here, it's for the healing. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. We're still perfect, but we're relying on God's provision to keep going. Speculation. There's a tall mountain in verse 21 and 10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. So if there's one mountain, there's probably a whole bunch in this new world, right? God's going to create it'll be a whole new world. And so the new Jerusalem was spotted from this high mountain. So, I mean, this earth that we live in now is what it used to be. It's a tease. Sin has deteriorated this earth. Obviously, the whole creation is crying out, waiting for the day in which it'll be a new creation, but there's mountains. What we see here on this earth is a foretaste of what we should be expecting to see in heaven. I mean, if you like climbing mountains, you'll love the new heavens and the new earth. If you like going to parks and beautiful flowers, I mean, that's God's creation. We should expect the same thing. We should expect the new heavens to be better than this earth that we're living on now that's been messed up with sin. Maybe there'll be no more earthquakes. This is speculation. Maybe there'll be no more floods, hurricanes, volcanoes, which destroy. Maybe. Or maybe we'll still have them and we'll be able to get through them with no danger, no destruction. We'll worship God through it. God, look at your power. We'll say, wow. No fear of danger. Just speculation. What about the sun and the moon? Some say there'll be no more sun. Let's look at it. Look at verse 20, chapter 21, verse 23. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, the Bible says. Revelation 22:5 says there's no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. In Isaiah, it talks about the sun will be no more. Will no more be your light by day. So some people at first glance, the first knee-jerk reaction is to say there's no sun or moon. But some say, yes, there will still be a sun and a moon. Whoa, how in the world can you get that there will be a sun or a moon if it says, well, look real close. The verses don't say that there won't be any more sun. It just says you won't need the sun's light. God will be the light. His glory will be the light. You just won't need the sun's light, right? That's what some will say. It doesn't mean the sun won't exist. God is just going to outshine the sun. In fact, there's an old hymn, right? I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Right? And so some will argue that. I'll let you decide. We'll find out when we get there, won't we? But it seems interesting. It seems like the sun will be there. We just won't need it in the city. Maybe we'll need it when we leave the New Jerusalem and we go exploring. Maybe we'll need the sun's light. But when we come into the city, nope, you won't need no lights. Jesus will be the light. Well, what about nighttime? Well, it does say there'll be no more night. Now, that's pretty clear. It does say that, doesn't it? Pretty clear. Well, wait a minute. I like sunsets. And sunsets, I saw a beautiful one this week. Took a picture of it. Should have put it up on here. Beautiful. Well, don't sunsets help us to worship God? I mean, we're all going to be worshiping the Lord. Maybe, we're speculating, is it just talking about the New Jerusalem? No more night in the New Jerusalem because there'll always be God's light? We do know that the heavens declared the glory of God. And so in order to worship God and the new heavens, we'll need to be able to see them, right, to worship them. The heavens declare the glory of God. It would seem like we would need to see them. So maybe our eyes won't need darkness to see. In other words, you need the darkness to see the stars, right? I get up early in the morning. I can look up and I can see the Big Dipper every morning right out of my front door. I look up, close the door. It's still dark. I can see it right there. Well, maybe in the new heavens and the new earth, we won't need darkness to see the stars. Our eyes will be able to handle it. Maybe there'll be not darkness, but maybe there'll be twilight. Maybe there'll be different levels of light. You don't understand what I'm saying? And we'll still be able to see it. Maybe. We're speculating. I'm getting this from Randy Alcorn, his book. This is where all this stuff comes from. Speculating. Maybe it'll be dark outside of the New Jerusalem and not inside the city. That's what we were saying. So, or maybe we'll travel to other galaxies and enjoy some really nice sunsets. And we'll worship God because the heavens declare the glory of God. We should be able, and we'll get into this later, but travel ought to be amazing. We're going to explore God's creation. For eternity, we're going to be explorers. And really study God's marvelous in detail. We should expect to be explorers in the new world. We'll leave the New Jerusalem. Hey, see y'all later. Hey, get some supper ready for me. Hey, I'll be back. Hey, I'm going to Mars. I don't know. We're speculating, right? We're speculating. Maybe we'll see sunsets on other planets. From what I understand, suns are called stars, and they're billions of stars. What about the ocean? The Bible says there's no longer any sea. I mean, it's pretty clear cut. We all enjoy going to the beach. And so this has made some people scratch their heads as to why. Why would there not be any more ocean? Some think this is talking about the Mediterranean Sea. Remember, putting yourself back in the context of the people. Some think it's talking about divisions in humanity. It's kind of like division. It divides people. Some think it's talking about no more fear and danger. But, I mean, it just says there's no more sea. I mean, it sounds like there's just no ocean, right? But you remember the river of life that flows down from heaven? Where does that end up? We don't know, but water is constantly coming down. Rivers run into the sea. There'll be no sea, so maybe there'll be big lakes on the new earth. Y'all have ever been up to the Great Lakes? I mean, they're like little oceans, aren't they? They're huge. There'll be no ocean. There'll be no sea, the Bible says. But maybe there'll be really big lakes. The river of the life has to run off somewhere. Again, speculation. But there'll be no ocean. There'll be no ocean. Some have asked why. The ocean back in that day was, I'm looking at the clock. Be very patient. I'm almost done. The ocean was trouble. I mean, that's where troubles came from. A lot of death, storms, questions. People thought the world was flat. You know, don't go that way because you fall off the earth. And the ocean was just kind of this scary place. People drowned and various things. And so it's a lot of speculation. But the Antichrist is said to come out of the sea of humans. And some would say maybe that's, again, a lot of speculation. Let's end with this. You know, John Newton said this, and this is what I close with today. He said, when I get to heaven, there's going to be three things that's going to make me scratch my head. He said, one, he says, I'm going to look around, I'm going to say, well, I'll be dog. I didn't know Baptists could get into heaven. Wow, the Methodists? Huh. I thought only the Brethren people got in. Huh. We got some over here that trusted Jesus too. Huh. Well, I'll be dog. You know, that'd be one thing, to look around and see some people. I thought we were the only ones that read the Bible right. He says, another thing that's had me scratching is there's going to be some people that I thought was going to be there. And they ain't there. It's a reminder, isn't it, that not everybody goes to heaven. And the third thing he said that was very interesting was he said, the most thing that's going to surprise me was that I'm here. Because why? None of us deserves it. None of us deserve it. There is none that is good, the Bible says. We are all sinners. When I die, I deserve to go to hell. I'm going to tell you that straight now. I don't even need to tell you that. You knew that. I'm going to just tell you right now, I deserve to go to hell and burn. But praise God. He sent his son Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. And it's God's grace, isn't it? God's grace is getting something you don't deserve. In our Sunday school class today, we were talking about Passover, which is tomorrow. And the point was made that in the Old Testament, they had to kill a perfect lamb. And you had to take the blood and you had to put it on the doorpost of your door, your front door, on the outside. Put it on the doorpost and the lintel, which was this middle thing. You had to put on the blood here, on the outside, blood here, and then on the top. You had to apply the blood. You had to put the blood on the door. You could kill the lamb and have the blood in a bowl. But that wasn't going to save your firstborn. You had to put the blood on the door. And there's so many people today as I close. Jesus has paid the penalty. His blood has been spilt. And many people say, yep, Jesus died for the sins of the world. That's good. I'm covered. No, no, no. You've got to accept that free gift. You got to believe in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You've got to apply his blood to the door of your heart. You've got to say, Jesus, I deserve to die. I don't deserve to be in this new Jerusalem that's coming down. I don't deserve it. God, will you save me? And if you believe on him, he will save you. You've got to see your sin. You've got to see your sin first. And then you got to put the blood of Jesus to you. Jesus, I need you to save me. And he will save you. And heaven will be your home. It's a wonderful Savior. We would love for you, if you've never done that, to believe on Jesus Christ. Do it today. We would love to hear about it so we could praise God with you. He's a wonderful Savior. He's got a great future for us. Are you on your way to heaven? One other thing as I close. Guys, all of us have unsaved friends. All of us have unsaved friends. You've got neighbors. You've got family. Time is short. Time is short. May we be, as our eyes are on heaven, want to tell somebody to come along with us so they too will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep praying for them, y'all. Keep praying for them. Keep talking to them. Don't give up. Ask them to come to church. Keep praying for them. Talk to them. Keep loving them. God is the Savior of sinners. Let's pray. Please stand as we pray. Lord, we've just been thinking about the New Jerusalem and this city that's going to come down. And Lord, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. As we look forward to our home, Lord, we are so thankful that you died on the cross, like that Passover lamb. And God, thank you that your blood was spilt. And I just pray for all of us here today. We're in one of two camps. Either we're saved or we're not saved. And Lord, I pray that if there's some here that have been playing church, they've been playing church, and they've just been going to church, and they've just been hoping that they're going to heaven, God, that they would know for sure that they're on their way to heaven by believing in you. Oh, God, may they make that decision today. And, Lord, I do pray for us as Christians, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on heaven and to look around us and to look at the dying world all around us, Lord, and to be engaged in our world. To keep praying for our unsaved friends. To keep talking to them, Lord. Oh, God, may we see Grove Park grow. May we see Grove Park be encouraged. And may we see people get saved here. And visitors coming and people getting saved. May this be a church that continues to honor you here in this little community of Durham. So give help as we live out the rest of our week this week, Lord. And we look forward to our home in heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen.